Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 245, episode 3 of Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it's Wednesday, July 13th, 2022. Miles, we haven't been doing the day.
Oh my goodness!
The international
really?
Or national days? Are you?
Oh yeah! Shout out my boy Ian. It's his birthday, July 13th. Also, National Barbershop Music Appreciation Ooh. Day. So if you really want to get down with that a cappella, why not? And also National French Fry Day.
The barbershop quartets are like a specific kind of a cappella. I feel like there's no bass in the barbershop quartet, or like there's nobody's like beatboxing with a barbershop quartet. It's just like I can only
well
picture
see that's the problem. What we need to do is put people onto the history of the barbershop music, because it starts in African American culture and then it got mayofied over time, and we got that, you know, whatever you want to call it now.
The Simpsons. But I just picture the Simpsons characters doing it with the
like B-sharps.
Very, very shallow straw.
Yeah.
Bowler.
Baby on board. That was their track. Shout out to B-sharps. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I really like a cappella groups, because if they can, like, really find a way to make a song sound good as, like, an a cappella track, then I'm like, yeah. The song stands. That's why for a long time I got into a huge YouTube like wormhole of looking for Kiss from a Rose, but like college acapella groups to see who had the most lit.
Yeah. Were you there? Did Her Majesty invite you when we did that for former guest Daniel O'Brien for his birthday 1 year? We did brought in a college acapella group and they performed Kiss from a Rose for him, like with like a surprise event that he was very embarrassed about. But
I remember that happening. Yes.
And by we, I mean like all the more thoughtful people on the crack team. I was not.
This was back when you always had an AirPod in. I feel that's how
had an AirPod in. Was just like fried out of my brain.
I think he's listening to podcasts all day. Little did you know.
Yeah. Anyways, my name is Jack O'Brien, aka if you like Hadron Colliders, it's a new one, and new particles to explain. Dun, 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 dun. If you like opening up black holes, getting sucked to other planes. If you like on the moons and other verses, in dimensions unknown, I'm the collider that you've looked for. Ooh. Accelerate and escape. Now, we didn't quite stick the landing on that one, but I'm still giving y'all credit. Andrew, Bub, Dentaku, 81, Thrilla, Nicole Adrian, and Fighter of the Nightman, Collabo. Each one wrote a word of that. If you like Pina Colada's remix, shout out to y'all in the Discord. And I'm thrilled to be joined once again by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
I just want to close my eyes. I just want to fall asleep, because fuck this shit, babe. Fuck this fuck, fucking everything. Because even when I'm drinking Mountain Dew, this anxiety still breaks through. Fuck this shit, baby. Fuck this fuck, fucking everything.
Shout out to Lockeroni. You know, I was out for a little bit, and I would gaze my eyes upon the news, and it felt unsettling, but I still looked anyway. It's good to be back. It's Miles. He's back, a.k.a. Mr. Madrid, a.k.a. the blunt roller of Barcelona. I'm back, and I just want to say I was in Spain, and I made a terrible error. I chose not to live moth. When I could have.
What?
I stood in front of multiple Taco Bells in Spain.
In Spain?
In Spain. Okay. I was in Spain in the membrane. And Her Majesty was like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, oh, I gotta live moth. And she's like, stop saying that. And I had to be like, I'm living moth, though.
The Castellano pronunciation of the Taco Bell menu.
Yo, they got wild. The tapas culture is so like lit there. Like, you could get one quesadilla and four beers for like €4.
Wow.
Like, so for you and the homies, each have a beer, have one piece of quesadilla. I'm like, American people cannot get down like that. One Taco Bell quesadilla for four people.
Now, do they have, as one of the five ingredients of Taco Bell in Spain, do they have tortillas the Spanish style, which is just like a potato omelet?
No, I mean, I didn't go that far. I did look at the McDonald's, though, and they had a wild goat cheeseburger. They had with a Iberian ham, all that kind of shit. Anyway, it was wild.
Climbing a volcano in Guatemala recently, Miles. a couple of the people that we climbed with were these really fun cousins who had a game where they were trying to visit the most McDonald's in different countries, and like they were at like 18 versus 19. So that's a fun game you can play at home if you want. And
yeah, fun game. Anyway. And then I got COVID, but I'm okay now. So I had a wild couple weeks, y'all.
Yeah, man.
And I'm
me
I'm
too. On the mend. It was crazy back here. Lots of you can ask the listeners. It was crazy, wild. I think I fell asleep on mic one time. Anyways, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a hilarious writer, comedian, podcast host, one of the best follows on Twitter, the founder of a creative studio, Follow Through. It's the brilliant and talented CJ Toledano!
CJ! What is up, guys? What's up, man? So hard to not interject and just compliment all that music. It was very musical intro. From both of you guys. Very, very impressed.
You know, we do what we can. We do what we can on this here show.
What's how are you doing, man? How is fatherhood?
Fatherhood is good. I feel like I'm in week 10 or 11 of fatherhood, and I'm like settled, enjoying it. Just I know what tired feels like. I can handle it.
Yeah.
Mm. It's great. A lot of pictures, a lot of videos, cute kid.
I remember right before the birth, you tweeted something to the effect of like, yo, I can't wait to be so tired. Like, I can't wait to pick up the
baton.
I was just
accepting Megan was, it.
Yeah, like Megan carrying the child, tag me in, coach. I'm going to be redlining out there till I have no gas in me. And now you're saying you got there, you found the spot, and you're surviving.
Well, I definitely, I think I told you guys, I was like, I'm ready to contribute. And like, it was iffy there if that was like, when I was actually contributing, man, that is tough. Yeah. I had to walk the walk, and there was times where I was like, should I just walk out the door? Like hearing, you know, I got the handle on it. No poop is too gross.
Nah.
You know, there's Google. I think, Jack, you told me you're just like Googling everything. I mean, I'm like a master of looking things up.
Yeah, constantly.
It's, you know, it's, I've learned a lot, and it's all very useful information. So as opposed to me just like looking up 90s NBA stats. So
right.
It feels good to contribute and to bring a life into this world. I mean, right. I didn't physically. I mean, I did at one part, but
yeah,
like,
yeah. Very, you know what very I mean. Brief. Yeah. I don't know. No, I don't want to say so brief, but yeah. It is like compared to the nine.
The
months.
Enjoyable part. The right, enjoyable right. part. Yeah,
yeah. I don't think I've ever heard somebody be like, "You kid," about their own kid. That's so funny, man.
Because I'm just like, this kid could have looked like anything. I don't know if I see that. That contributes to me wanting to raise him.
Yeah, yeah. That is huge when you're like, oh.
You're not going to have a hot take about your kid.
Like, yeah, I'm a vain person.
Right. Look like Megan's brother. Like, wait, what? Why taking shots at the family now?
Not the good one either. You know what I'm saying?
Does Megan have brothers?
Yeah, he's got two really, really good brothers. Nice, just spent a whole week with them. July 4th, we had family coming in. I mean, that's the other aspect of it all is like, you just got to get through family coming in constantly. Like, they do help, but it also is like, you got to entertain or like show them where cups are, you know?
Right.
Yeah,
right,
it's
right,
like
right.
they can help with the exhausting parts of like the baby, but then they are exhausting.
They're also a baby too, to a certain extent.
They're also pooping up their back. Yeah,
they're pooping up their back. They're clogging toilets. You know what I mean? Yeah, there's a lot of like poop. The poop drama does not stop at the baby. You know what I mean?
It does right. not.
That's an all ages activity.
It is.
I'm glad
it
to hear.
Turns
that.
Out it's true.
Some things don't change.
Yeah. My parents have not, I don't know if I want to put my parents on blast. They listen to this, but let's say that we've had some, I don't think we've gone one trip where they visited without a plumbing issue of one sort or another.
Wow.
We'll leave it at that. That's, you know, maybe we'll cut that. I don't
Man,
know.
Man, you only left two suspects for that.
The biggest question, what I'm trying to do is trying to figure out, because I feel like you can really tell the type of person with what they do with the plunger after. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
because
there is no, like, protocol. It's like, you got to use some critical thinking. So it's like, what did you do with it and where did you put it?
Right. Yeah.
And yeah, I won't say what
in
the
kitchen sink.
Washing it in the kitchen sink.
Yeah. To dry over the plates. To dry in the dish rack.
In the dish rack.
Dish drying track. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Growing up, I remember our plunger was in a plastic shopping bag, like in the corner. And like there was, and I remember going to places, people's house. I'm like, yo, you just got the loose plunger?
Yeah, just a
like,
wild
loose
plunger.
Like, what are you going to do? Yeah. What do you think happens? Where do you think that goes?
Yeah.
Like when it's being used. And then after we just let it settle there. I mean, I've mastered the art of like tapping it on the rim of the toilet to get all the excess water off at the end. And then like sheathing it in the plastic bag again. But when you got loose
sheathing,
plungers,
hell yeah.
Yeah, I have to use like
that motherfucker
because I wanted to sound more official than like throwing that shit back in a shopping bag.
I've gotten much better. Like that is one of the old man skills that I feel like has improved like drastically over the course of my life is like unclogging a toilet. I just had that thought the other day. I was unclogging a toilet and was like, damn, I really have this now. It's all about getting the water in the plunger. You need to fill the plunger up with water.
Yeah. Don't. 20% of my childhood was like, ooh, I think it's one more flush and it's fixed. And it was like going downstairs and watching the water fall and be like, this is the worst thing that could ever happen.
Right. I like you bigging up yourself. Like, as you're plunging a toilet, you're like, damn, looking in the mirror like,
hey,
who's that motherfucker? Oh, it's you. That's right.
That is correct.
It's him.
Yeah, a lot of experience. I'm just going to put it out there. All right, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment, CJ. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. The Democrats and Republicans are united. You know, everybody's like, the big problem in this country is polarization. Well, there is one thing that Democrats and Republicans can unite around, and that is that they do not want a rematch of 2020. They do not want that same candidate in there. And we will ask the broad societal question, is it disrespectful to blast music at the beach? And we might even get to some just first reactions to the Webb telescope photographs, which,
They're freaking me out.
Freaking me out, man.
They are freaking me out. Those images, they are a sight to behold. My God.
Yeah. People, I feel like a lot of the questions I'm seeing on social media are the questions that occurred to me when I would get too high when I was younger. It's just like, oh, none of this matters. We're just a brief gurgling of biological activity between long spans of existence as space dust.
Mm.
And people are like, oh, wow, it's really big. Oh, wait a second. Fuck. Oh, no.
That's what why we all mean? Need to be doing drugs and all be on that same plane. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Just realize you're insignificant. That's the biggest step, man. Let your ego die. You ain't shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
But before we get to ego death, CJ, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Something from my search history would be, I mean, the plunger thing for sure, but we don't need to talk about that anymore. I'm going to pull something up right now. Let me just type in.
Wait, what are you searching?
Oh, okay.
What to do with plunger after using?
I mean, I feel like this is the wrong show, but right now I've just, my top search or latest search was Lakers first round picks. As you know, summer free agency, it's just like, entered my brain and has yet to leave. So I'm looking into the facts right now.
Mm-hmm. That we will not have first round picks for
this is the right show, by the way, because this is our other show is a partnership with the NBA, so you can't like talk.
Gotcha. Okay.
Shit.
Gotcha.
So this is where you get out all the
we get it out. Just I mean, as you know, because CJ also has a show with the NBA.
Yeah, the NBA. Yeah, you know,
let
which
him know.
I feel like we're gonna get to in a second, but yeah. So Lakers first date for summer league is happening. I'm like, you know, running away from, again, all my responsibilities. I'm like, how do we get this Kyrie trade done? And I'm like, I don't care. I'm with LeBron. I do not care about first round picks. Where are they even in our future? Get rid of them all. We don't need them. Who even is the first? It's not even a person. You know, it's like that. It's like that space picture. We don't even know what it is, but it's
right.
Get rid of it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's a theoretical probability cloud.
Exactly.
Yeah.
At most, that first round pick is let's 13 right now?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, we're good. I don't need that 13-year-old.
No.
You mean age-wise? I thought you were saying the Lakers are so good they wouldn't be anywhere lower than 13. That's why I made that fucked up face.
To even conceptualize a first round draft pick from the 2028 draft.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's almost it's illegal to be even thinking about the 13-year-old that is good enough to not complete this Kyrie trade right now.
Right.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
not needed. Not needed.
What a gross profession, like the people who are like scouts of like middle school students. look at the, you know, just the length on this kid. Look at the body.
Well,
at a certain point, yeah. There's like, you could be a little too invested. Like if you're having an argument over like which like fifth grader is like the best in the country, you're like, well, you know, at the end of the day, what the fuck do you know about a fifth grader playing basketball?
One of my searches, again, this is because I've been thinking about this goddamn pick and that whole theory. One of the greatest Mr. Show sketches, not to get all comedy nerd here, but it's based off of Hoop Dream, or inspired by Hoop Dreams, where they go and it's recruiters literally visiting homes with babies and talking to their parents about their, their like upside. It's fantastic.
That's amazing. What is something you think is underrated?
The movie House Guest. I literally just DM'd somebody who said they were watching it. And I said, that is a very underrated movie.
House Guest with Queen Latifah?
No. That's Bringing Down the House.
Okay,
that's another house movie. Sinbad and Phil Hartman.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, it is a great movie that is yet, it's not talked about enough.
Huh. Yeah.
I know this is a topical show, and I'm bringing it back to now the 90s, but House Guest, Sinbad, when comedies were good.
Wow. Yeah. Released January 6th, 1995. Powerful day. Powerful day in this country's history.
I mean, it's also a very racist movie where it's a mix-up where two light-skinned black guys who do not look alike get mixed up, and Phil Hartman's like, yeah, this is my buddy from camp. And it's like, he looks nothing like the other guy.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
So that's the problematic part of it. But other than that, Sinbad's a legend.
Wait, so who's the other dude? Wait, so is Sinbad actually on the run? Because it's about somebody who's on the run from the mob.
So Sinbad,
yeah.
His bookies are coming. He has like a gambling addiction, and he owes money to his like bookies, and they go after him. So he goes on the run. At the airport, he sees like Phil Hartman and his family holding up a sign because he's meeting his like buddy from camp, and he sees his buddy.
Like when they were children.
Yeah. He sees the buddy. The buddy is a light-skinned black guy, Sinbad light-skinned, and was like, oh, I'm going to go up and pretend to be him.
Nice.
Oh, man.
And then the hilarity ensues.
I just watched the whole trailer on IMDb. The thing I mostly knew it as was the VHS cover with Sinbad's head poking out of a mailbox.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because houses have mailboxes,
yep.
So he's the guest.
Look who's
in the mail?
Sinbad. Yep. Yeah.
Guess what? Surprise.
Surprise, motherfucker. The mob's looking for me.
On the run from the mob was the premise of conservatively 75% of 80s
yeah.
movies.
Oh, yeah. On the run, movies. It's that or witness a murder and on the run or on the run from a mob. I think you've...
Well, most fish out of water experiences, as you guys know, happen because that person is always running from the mob.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I've had like 3 or 4 fish out of water adventures in my life and almost exclusively on the run from a mob mix-ups.
Yep.
Yeah. What is something you think is overrated?
Paper towels.
Paper towels.
Uh-huh.
I think it's more so like the expensive paper towels with all the technology. You know, like the thing is, if the one less technological paper towel isn't doing it, you just combine another sheet of that and it's getting it done. I don't need to be, you know, I'm grabbing whatever off the shelf.
The quilted thicker picker upper.
I don't need a quilt out of here. I don't need to buy, you know, I have
a quilt. This isn't for my baby. We have quilts. This
quilt is for sleeping. Shit. That's a blanket at that point. You're selling me disposable blankets.
There's one brand that I like because it's so lo-fi. I forget what it's called, but like, I just know off the strength of looking at it because there's no texture on it and it like sticks to the roll.
That's what I'm saying. There's pattern. Like we're playing too much around with these patterns. Like I'm not going to enjoy the decor of my paper towels. I'm going to clean up shit with that. You know what I mean? So right. I actually want to like it less.
I mean, also, too, the other thing is, as I've become just increasingly water conscious, I'm like, man, just use that. Just use a dish rag for like everything. And then just throw that shit in the washing machine. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, have you?
Say, don't use Brawny because that's the Coke Brothers paper towels. You know.
Oh yeah, fuck Brawny. I do feel like there hasn't been a big pickup in paper towel technology. Like I feel. You know, I saw the ads growing up where they would like do the pickup and then like wring it out like it was a real towel and it like wouldn't break. And I've never had a paper towel experience like that. I have noticed like a couple fast casual restaurants having a type of napkin available that is like much better than the previous types of napkin. Like they're almost like more like the disposable hand towels that you find in like really fancy.
Oh, like a Four Seasons bathroom.
Yeah, like public bathrooms. Have you noticed this?
And yes,
yeah.
And I would describe it the exact same way, which is prior to that, I had only experienced a paper good like that from being a 9-star hotel I'd
yeah.
was being in.
Yeah.
And I was like,
but I feel like there's something happening that's probably devastating to the ecology of the planet.
Sure.
But
what I'm experiencing right now is I had Chipotle the other day and their napkins are already look like trash and dirty. Like I used to be like, oh, I didn't use all these napkins, I'm gonna save them. But Chipotle napkins I was just like furious with before I even used them. I was like, I have to throw these away. And there was a whole stack. And they just like,
I have no idea if they're clean.
Yeah. Even though, again, I hate to keep callback in this, but like I use those as toilet paper when I was poor in Chicago.
Right.
Oh, it's Chipotle napkins? Yeah. You always got to have the emergency.
So maybe that's just like the connector in my brain. Maybe that might be all in my head.
Right.
I would say toilet paper, underrated when compared to any other option for using toilet. nothing compares. Like it turns out
granted.
That was probably the most powerful piece of Cold War propaganda I heard was growing up. They were like, the toilet paper in Russia is real bad. Like, I knew somebody went over there and it was like fingers were popping through.
That's why he's in that wheelchair.
Yeah.
Because using the toilet paper over there. Told you it's dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, look, that's why I'm on that bidet life. You know what I mean?
Oh, were you a bidet adopter during the start of the pandemic?
I mean, I had a bidet. Well, you know, in Japan, there's like a lot of the toilets there already have them. So I've been knowing about the bidet for some time. I only got it in my house since like the podcast era began. And that was like a thing where every podcast was like, hey, you want to use a bidet? I'm like, fuck yeah, I do. And life has never been the same.
A fluctuation in the early podcast era when...
Yeah. It was mandated to use a bidet. Yeah.
Well, I like the eras that we've covered, Cold War and podcast.
the podcast era. Cold War gave way to the podcast era. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk some politics.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And yes, it took a lot to bring the two parties together, but Donald Trump and Joe Biden have done it. Both of these candidates have caused their respective parties to be like, nah, fuck this. We will not be running it back, please.
Yeah. And to varying degrees, right? because we are in this moment where you ask anybody in America what they think about the country's direction, and you get the same answer, which is it's going down the toilet for vastly
like 13% think it's going in the right direction.
Yeah. For vastly different reasons, right? If you're a progressive person, you're like, man, we are being so inhumane to people and we aren't seeing any progress, like the kinds that the leadership had promised people. And if you're on the right, they're like, things are too humane for certain groups of people and we're not regressing fast enough.
Well, you look at the theft of CVSs. That's the main thing that I feel like the crime is out of control. Did you see all the shoplifting?
Right.
It's like, that's even a real story, bro.
Right. Is that like, do you even have a CVS where you live? Actually, no, different market. We don't have them in my part of the country. But anyway, you know, you look at the polls right now and it like you're saying, it's the same thing. Democrats and Republicans would rather someone else in 2024 for their respective party, for their respective parties. For Democrats, the polls show that they are not impressed by Joe Biden and would rather see another person. So just 26% of Democrats said they would prefer Biden as their party's candidate. 64% saying they want to see someone else head the ticket in 2024. That's of like registered voters. If you ask Democrats under 30, 94% want Biden to GTFOH.
I mean, it just seems like physically that's going to be a given regardless. My man is old.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what did you cover the thing when he was like, end of line, repeat sentence?
Oof. Oh, yeah. We did.
When he Ron Burgundy that shit, you're like,
Ron Burgundy the shit out of it. He's also perfectly happy to run it back and just like be slightly more popular than the Republican alternative. Like, that's what he's saying. He's like, hey, I don't compare myself to the almighty. I compare myself to the other alternative. Like, that's a thing that he repeatedly says.
Great tactic.
Yeah, it's like, no, man, people don't like you. We're worried that you're going to die any minute. And this is not it. My only concern is that they're going to be like, all right, vice president, you're up. Because that's been also not great.
There's some cool sound bites I caught over the last couple of weeks. But most people, rightly, they point to his age. And I feel like that should be levied at like every member of Congress right now. Like, y'all don't get it at all.
Yeah.
And also just his job performance as key factors and why they're like, yeah, maybe we're better off with a person who's merely not going like, well, at least I'm not this thing. Maybe provide a vision that you can follow through on. And then Republicans, how do they feel? Well, the younger fascists, they aren't feeling their old guy either, it seems. A clear majority, this is from the New York Times, a clear majority of primary voters, so this is for a specific group, under 35 years old, 64%, and also 65% of those with at least a college degree, which they say is an indicator of where like the donor class is, they told pollsters they would vote against Trump in a presidential primary. They don't want to see Trump in a presidential primary. As it stands across the board, 49% of GOP voters would support Trump in a primary were it to happen today. 49%. 25% would support Ron DeSantis. And that number seems to be growing. And I think it's the same thing with Republicans. They're kind of like, yeah, Trump, you know, that was cool and all. And he normalized a bunch of heinous shit. But like, we need somebody maybe a little bit younger and also someone who's not so fixated on like getting revenge on his 2020 foes.
That's not exclusively fixated on that.
Yeah, they do point to that as being like, yeah, you know, I think that we kind of lost steam on that one. And the January 6th things aren't helping because that's slowly putting more people into the Joe Biden one fair and square column, like, although very, you know, in a small number. But yeah, it looks like this a similar issue for Donald Trump, especially when you have a sexy young Ron DeSantis in the wing.
But yeah. I don't know. I think he would win if they ran it back and it was Trump versus Biden, because Biden's just not like those numbers are still the Biden numbers are wild. Like 94% want someone else. That's not like 94% of Americans don't think he should like run across the spectrum. That's 94% of Democrats don't want him to run. Like, I'm guessing they would still like vote for him in some cases, but I don't know. It's just wild that they're like, I'm seeing Biden still leads Trump in like a head to head poll, 44% to 41%, like being posed as a like positive. Like, if Trump wins, if Trump runs and wins, like, democracy is over in the country. We really can't, like, risk it and be like, I think he has, like, the statistical edge, especially when, like, those sorts of statistics have been drastically undercounting his support, like, from day one. Like, yeah, we're fucking ourselves if we run this back.
Well, we'll see what happens, because we're dealing with two old guys who don't want to admit that they're past it either. You know what I mean? Yeah, which is right. The other interesting dimension. Because Trump, over the weekend, he I don't know if he truthed it or whatever dumbass website he rants on. He goes on to kind of defend being old, even though like him and Biden are looking at the same problems with the base. It says, quote, President Biden is one of the oldest 79s in history, but by and of itself, he is not an old man. There are many people in their 80s and even 90s that are as good and sharp as ever. Mm-hmm. Biden is not one of them, but it has little to do with his age. In actuality, life begins at 80. Uh-oh. I think we're going to see a rematch.
Oh, God.
Oh, I've said, life begins at 80?
From day one. Like, there's that you can't stop him with a truck and the entire might of the U.S. Army from running. Trump is running, that's for sure. And if he's not the Republican candidate, he's still running. Like, it doesn't fucking matter. He's going to run. He's going to get a sizable portion of the vote. Like, we need the best candidate to stop him from actually winning.
Well, this is what I'm curious, what the Republican strategists are trying to do, too. They're like, fuck. Okay, do we run him again? Clearly, we feel that we could put like a younger, up and coming fascist in play and deliver on all the terrible, like xenophobic, theocratic dreams of like the base at the moment. But I don't know. I mean, like, the thing that we've seen is they clearly fall in line when the hands are clapped together and they're told to get in their places.
They also, like, can't stop him. They tried to stop him in the 2016 primary, and it didn't work. I mean, they didn't try that hard, but, like, they tried as hard as a, like, middle-of-the-road Republican is able to try, and they couldn't stop him.
And sorry I haven't said much. I'm just, like, just seeing all the doom, and it's just, like, not getting any better. I'm like, this is depressing. But either side, like, we've clearly found the formula to win presidency is, like, a little bit of confidence delusion. And we, like, there's no other versions of that even. Like, I understand the game of it all, and no one else wants to step up.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are probably Democrats who are, you know, biding their time and being like, all right, he's going to back down. Somebody needs to convince him to back down. I am, like, with every passing day, I'm more convinced, like, we need a Bernie-era parent. Or like some sort of leftist populist candidate, because not because like that is, those are my political views, but because we've tried. Like, so what we've seen is that the mainstream Democrats repeatedly underperform at the polls. The Republican populist people are like, well, that did not go well. And there's just been like staggering support for like leftist populism since 2016, but it is the one thing that America like will not allow itself to even like legitimize. So
yeah,
again, this was absurd. Like, what happened to Matthew McConaughey running? That was the perfect disguise, because no one could tell, is he a Republican or a Democrat? Like, let's just, yeah, we enjoy some of his movies, because the thing is, the president, that position does not matter.
Turns out.
Yeah, you know, yeah, with Roe versus Wade, and it's like, all right, Biden, you clearly don't agree. Do something about it. And if he can't do shit, then what's the position of power then? So I'm like, yeah, I'll see another actor in there, an actor from our generation. I'm down.
That is the question that I've had, though, is like, can he really not do shit? Because I've also seen people like pointing out that when Reagan wanted to change the drinking age in America from 18 to 21, his administration just withheld like highway funding, so like people couldn't fix their roads. which is, you know, like they just like wouldn't give them any money until they agreed to change their drinking age, which is like kind of a significant thing because it's like they had the some data that told them like that's what needed to happen, but it was going to cut out like a bunch of sales, right? And like make the states lose money, and yeah. they famously never recovered. What's that?
The alcohol and spirits industry.
Yeah, exactly. Never recovered. But that's what they would have had you believe at that time, right. For sure. Yeah, I think Louisiana is the only one that's left. That has crumbling roads and a drinking age of 18. Everywhere else has had to like come in line, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the era of like, you know, cable news and things like that, it becomes a story, and like already Democrats are not willing to use the same kind of levers that past administrations may have used to try and get the party in line. But I don't know. You'll feel the machine come against you if you're trying to do something that's like outside of the status quo. But yeah, it's.
Yeah. I think the Republicans are better at obstructing Democratic presidents than vice versa.
I feel like we just need more young people to fucking run. Like, I just want to see people, like, I just want to see millennials argue, like, with 70-year-old, like, lifetime politicians, like, on the floor of the Capitol.
Yeah.
And just be like, no, dude, you're so old. Just, I can't even listen to you.
Yeah.
Like, this is all nonsense. Like, you don't even know what you're
talking
about. That
would get young people voted. We need stuff that can end up on highlight reels. We don't need, like, we tried logical thinking and presenting, like, of course we can't ban abortion. Like, that statement alone doesn't do much. But you got to have, like, just radicals. You got to have, like, people, like, young people who are just going nuts on this shit.
Well, like, if you look at all of our films, right now it's all about, like, parents like apologizing to their kids is like the thrust of so many of like our millennial like written and directed like films and TV. It's kind of like this new thing where it's like parents are sorry about what they did, meaning there's a lot
of
people.
What's an example of that? I actually don't
like.
I don't watch
like the Disney one, like the big what was the big red? You know, like
turning red.
Yeah. Or like Everything Everywhere All at Once. There's like a lot of things where like adults are kind of looking back on like their hand and how their kids are or like what they're and like that used to just be like not something we considered. I think as millennials or people of a certain age, we think about the connectedness of all that. And I feel like maybe as generationally, there's something to be like, yo, bro, you can go yell at your stepdad if you run for office, but you can do it on the floor and you can do it for like healthcare. Yes. Like, well, tap into like, that energy.
We were talking about my parents or like in-laws being in here, and I like straight up told my father-in-law, I was like, we can't buy a house because your generation and your baby boomer, like, you guys ruined it for us. And he was like, I know, and I'm sorry, right? And so it was like, we need that in a politician who was just like laying out how you guys ruined it. And like, we just need someone who can change the system. It's not like we need someone to go in there and do the job. It's like the whole thing's got to change.
Because the discourse is too, it's like, it's not quite communicating to the people like something that they innately feel. And it takes, like, it's like you see these moments where like you see certain back and forths between members of Congress and like someone who's like a real estate banker or something, like, whoa, they just served this like industry banker for like their bad business practices. And there is something where like you need more, like people need to understand that that's like a huge thing, a huge energetic thing to tap into. But when we leave it as like, and vote for us to keep, you know, make sure that your educational costs are like, that's not that this, that shit doesn't connect with people anymore.
So
it's like
we need to get a YouTube influencer, a person who knows how to work the titles on YouTube, who knows the algorithm of TikTok, but can apply just reasonable, logical common sense.
Right.
Like, I mean, for real, I'm like, maybe that's how, but no one's going to do that because it's like, oh, I have a brand deal with freaking MeUndies. If you guys have that, but you know what I mean?
Right. It's like 7 times this congressperson pwned the banking industry.
That's
and the thumbnail's like a banker with his eyes shooting out of their head. Like, and you're like, damn, this is a great campaign ad.
I agree.
Yeah. But I mean, we are seeing more people like who are like left leaning or young, like having success in American politics, not like the United States, but other like
locally
Central and South American countries. And yeah, locally we're seeing it. It's just the mainstream media and corporate Democratic Party like fight it harder than even the Republicans. So that is like what needs to be overcome by our TikTok candidate.
Oh, yeah. And eventually, you know, you'll get co-opted by the machine and they'll be like, yeah, man, that was great. I love how you get those bite-sized things out. Now, can you say that in support of this Saudi Arabian arms deal?
Right. Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about how gas is too cheap.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And yeah, so gas prices have been going down for, you know, dozens of days now in a row.
Yeah.
And, you know, shout out to Joe Biden for making not that happen, but I guess he also didn't make the gas prices go up. So we can.
Well, which one did he? Because if you watch right wing news, you don't know who the fuck is in charge. When it's up, it's that goddamn Joe Byron, the gas demon, who's sending up the rates at the pump. But then if it goes down, I'll just play this clip from Fox where they're talking about how the setup for the anecdote couldn't be like waspier, but I'll just let you listen in. But they're talking about how, golly, the gas prices are going down, and they're quick to remind themselves, no, we can't big up Joe Biden or nothing or say this is good.
want him to run again, and the rest probably don't.
False trouble.
That is stunning. By the way, on gas prices, I found it curious. I was at a lacrosse tournament up in Wilmington, Delaware over the weekend. In Delaware and Northern Maryland, regular gas is about anywhere from $4.55 to $4.80 a gallon. So the price is beginning to creep back down.
It is. It is. And the point was made over the weekend, I believe it was the Wall Street Journal, that gas prices are actually coming back down historically faster with the price of oil than usual. And it just goes to show you what an incredible risk reward calculation has to happen on the part of those small, independently owned, most of them, mom and pop gas stations. It's a struggle for all of them.
Yeah, still a long way from $3.55 a gallon, but, you know, maybe some movement in that direction.
I was at a lacrosse tournament.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
In Wilmington, Delaware.
It's just people who have the privilege to be mad, you know? It's
right.
Like, I'm bored. I can be mad.
Be mad about whatever the fuck they want. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they don't, because it doesn't actually affect them. So they're just, like, watching it like a spectator sport and just being like, nah, fuck that. no matter what direction it happens in. But...
I mean,
that's pretty great.
We went to, it's been coming down. The gas prices are now, they're on a steady downward trend. But actually, according to this other Rupert Murdoch-owned fucking media outlet, the Wall Street Journal, because we're just going to regurgitate the same BS back and forth into each other's mouths on the air. It's actually terrible. This is actually terrible for all the mom and pop gas stations, because, as you know, we're all about small businesses and we hate giant companies like Walmart who have laid waste to mom and pop. Oh, wait, no, we aren't. OK, so it's hard to find consistency throughout all of this. But yes, they made this to become the falling gas prices are the plight of the independent owned gas station. Mm. I mean, I get what they, I guess maybe in like a really broad theoretical sense. But to even try and spin that as like, yeah, but that's bad. But the price is going down is bad.
Like, yeah.
What is this?
All right. So, CJ, you have to run. Miles and I are going to stick around and talk about the important issue of whether it's okay to blast music at the beach. But first of all, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, yeah. Sorry I had to run, guys.
No.
Running the Break basketball podcast with iHeartMedia. It is, everything off the court. There's so many basketball podcasts out there. Talking about the X's and O's. I care about that a little bit, but for the most part, I'm just like, how can I consume basketball? And it's through buying shit, jerseys, sneakers, hats. I care about like all the outfit entrances, all these players, and just all the off-court stuff hosted alongside with Alex Wong, who has a really great book, Cover Story. People know him. He's written for Slam, GQ, and a bunch of those places. But yeah, I mean, it's like, it's a perfect basketball podcast, especially to be listening to during the summer. Because, we're talking about the stuff that doesn't really involve trades or any of that stuff. So, it's been a blast to do so far.
Nice, man. And where can people find you, follow you, and all that good stuff?
At CJ Toledano and at Follow Through Studio. Yeah, Twitter, Instagram, search it. You'll find a bunch of my
cute baby pictures as well.
A lot of baby pictures. I got to slow it down. I got to pump the brakes and give some real content outside of my cute kid.
Yeah.
Cute kid.
Pratt, you know, because it's my fault that he's cute. So it's just a way to brag.
And there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
I mean, I always love King Josiah 54, King of NBA Twitter. You guys are familiar with him. He's changing the game. Very, very funny and just like plugged in.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can hear him on a recent episode of Mad Boosties.
That's right.
You can hear CJ on an upcoming episode of Mad Boosties.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Thanks, guys.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Talk soon.
Later.
All right. Well, Miles, just the two of us. Which one you want to talk about? You want to talk space photos or you want to talk? Well, let's ask the big question. Is it disrespectful to blast music at the beach?
This was on Vice. Katie Way, who writes over there, even phrased it even more aggressively. The piece was called Stop Playing Music at the Beach.
Whoa.
Now, to Katie's credit, she's like, look, I'm not here trying to create new laws. I'm not saying people need to be punished for this. I'm just trying to bring up that I believe this is a Fouks pass. okay, or faux pas, but depending on it.
No, you had it right the first time.
Fauque's pass. Thank
Fauque's
you.
Fauque's pass.
If
yeah.
Is it a Fauquesian pass to play your music at the beach? And I just want to just like, I feel really conflicted about this, but I just want to use Katie's words. Say, quote, I understand that people like to listen to music when they're outside. On any other body of water, I say go for it. Take your speaker on the boat, blast tunes at the lake, make a playlist for tubing on the river, crank that shit at the pool, whatever. But the ocean comes with its own gorgeous natural soundtrack, a soundtrack so soothing that it puts babies and insomniacs to sleep. And I do not want it drowned out by someone's summer vibes playlist. Music at the beach is a rejection of life's simple pleasures, the bounty of nature, taking paradise and putting up a parking lot, to quote a song I definitely would not play, Oceanside. What about the elemental pleasure of hearing waves crash against the sand? Isn't that enough for some people? Now, I'm split on this. I love hearing music all the time. It's one of my favorite things. I love music.
Your music or other people's music? You don't give a shit.
Okay, this is the problem, right? This is where I begin wavering, but I also get very opinionated when I hear music that I don't necessarily vibe with being blasted in my direction. Like, that's why I'm curious. Like, you know, like, for example, if I'm at a beach, some kids are listening to some like West Coast rap or whatever, and someone's like, hey, can you turn that down? I would most likely be like, nah, shut the fuck up. Let this shit bang.
Right.
But if someone had like some aggro hard house playing, which I'm not trying to hear at the beach. I think there's a time and place for hard house, you know, and put my candy on and start candy stepping, but it's not at the beach. I would probably side with the person asking for lower volume. So all that to say is I'm wildly inconsistent on this, but I feel like personally, I would probably err on the side of consideration because I do overall, I like the golden rule. Like if I'm not trying to have that shit be blasting in my face, then I'm not going to put somebody else through it.
Yeah, I will say blasting music is like one of those, you know, philosophical, like everybody loves their taste in music and expects it to translate to other people. They want other people to feel what they feel when they're playing their music. And the vast, vast majority of the time, that shit does not work. And blasting it at the beach is like, you know, I think people dealing specifically with that misconception or just not giving a fuck about the fact that there's that misconception. I will say the soundtrack of a lake is just as pretty as the soundtrack at the beach. I will say the music is going to carry more at the lake. This feels very classist to me because you are like the lake river like thing. I feel like tends to be like people or on your boat, for instance, it's fine to blast some music, but at the beach where you are like more likely to encounter like other people from like different class levels than you, I feel like is when it becomes a problem. That bothers me a little bit, especially because in my experience, like somebody can't take over the beach with their music. The beach is pretty loud in and of itself. So like you're gonna be able to like just move down the beach and find and like get rid of that soundtrack easily.
A couple years ago, these kids they took it the fuck over.
Okay.
I couldn't believe the fidelity and the power of the speakers that they brought. And it was like, that's one thing. Like if you have your fucking, you know, Bluetooth thing, that's not going to carry as far. And if it's that big of a deal, like a lot of the times I have headphones on at the beach anyway, because I kind of want to really be immersed in my music. Like, I don't necessarily need to just have it out, like, ambient like that. But which all leads me to believe is, do we need a turn-up section at the beach and a chill-out section? I feel like that's really what it is. It's all about the expectation, like, because everyone's going to bring their own expectation to the beach. And I get you, because, like, as I read it, I was like, are we getting into Karen territory? Which is why, at the end of the piece, Katie Way is saying, like, I'm not here to even say, like, a fucking lifeguard needs to intervene. I'm just trying to put it out there. This is my feeling about like how loud shit can be at the ocean versus other places. And that's their own personal shit. But
But don't you feel like the ocean is pretty loud in and of itself? Like that, like it just feels like the ocean takes up a lot of the space.
Yeah,
I don't know. I guess I need to go to that beach where the kids just drowned out the sound of the surf. That's wild.
And don't get me wrong. There are times I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm so glad this person's blasting their like whatever music. Yeah. I'm like, because I don't listen to this shit. But also like they're having such a good time. Just by osmosis, like I'm getting a secondhand good time off of their music I don't normally listen to. So that's why I'm like, not always across the board. That's what I'm saying. If anything, I just have more of an opinion, not like they didn't turn this shit off. I'm like, oh, this person doesn't know shit about music.
It's like, also what, be like a system of some sort, like that, like not like go to the lifeguard and be like, can you tell them to turn that trash off? But not more of like, okay, this is like you said, this is the section where you can play music. And rather than like up. Everybody just like blasting music on top of one another, like we have a like aux cord essentially, like where everybody gets to like play their music and it has like a nice sort of sound design or something, rather than just everybody bringing their own little like speaker and like competing. I don't know. There, like we could definitely work together and come up with a solution that allows you to like enjoy music at the beach, but not like ruin other people's time at the beach.
Yeah. And also that's the thing is like, I'm trying to think if it really, the only time it's been ruined is like, if you actually, sometimes you want to take a little nap at the beach, cause it is soothing to some, like when the waves are loud, you can just kind of drift away, you know?
Yeah.
And then if suddenly you happen to listen to like some SoundCloud remix of like Justin Bieber mashed up with like Diana Ross or something, maybe it's not the best time for that. But that's why in a way, like I feel conflicted because I also don't want, if I'm feeling it, I damn sure don't want somebody to be like, you can't do that. I'm like, fuck you. Watch me turn this shit louder.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
A part of me also feels like, you know, maybe shit would just be way more alive if there was a turn up section at the beach too.
Right. Just like a beach party. Yeah.
I've
heard of those. I don't think I've ever been to a beach.
Me either. They look cool on the TV shows and the movies.
I guess there was that one time when I was playing soccer and then my ex-girlfriend started flirting with this guy and I kicked him in the stomach and at a beach party, beach bonfire.
Is that your real life?
Yeah, that was me and my crew. We were just rolling around on our crotch rockets. man, that's me. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but yeah, let us know. I mean, or is there a limit, right? It's like, look, if you come with a Bluetooth, only so much a Bluetooth can do. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, you can turn up your little area with one Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah,
that's... are there limits, right? Like, are if you're daisy chaining five Bluetooths together to make a mega tooth?
Yeah,
are you violating
a whole
them?
Mouth of teeth?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that. Know. That's the thing. Like when I think of the soundtrack of a beach, I'm like picturing people like going by on their bikes with like a Bluetooth speaker or something. Yeah. And I hear their music for, you know, it like fades in and out in like 5 seconds because then, you know, just the sound of the ocean just crushing fucking the beach.
The one time it is wild is when you're actually, you know, is when you're camping. That's been the one time I'm like, yo, this is a violence.
Camping is violence. Yeah.
Like if when some dude is like coming down off Molly like at 6 a.m. and they're blasting
six
like jungle.
Yeah.
Like, and you could hear that from like 3 sites away. You're like, dude, no. This is, I didn't ask for a wake up by jungle drum and bass, but
I do sometimes, but not in that circumstance.
Got you.
Well, Miles, it is truly a pleasure to have you back. So glad you made it back. So glad you got to fill up the old, what is the spank bank equivalent of life? The old
same
life
one.
Bank.
Spank bank.
Spank bank with some travel. Sorry you caught COVID, but you seem well, sir.
I'm very grateful that it was a mild, very, very mild case. So yes.
Yeah. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Oh man, find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also, obviously check out Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. Also check out 420 Day Fiance. And let's see, a tweet that I like. Ooh, there have been some good ones. I like this construct of tweet that I've seen over the last week where it says like, if I text you like with the emoji,
oh,
and
yeah.
it means. So this one is from at Andrew Jordan, but R-W-J-R-D-N, no vowels in that spelling. It says, if I text you, it's like a plane with like a shooting star. Those emojis. It means, can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky are like shooting stars? and I love that song featuring B.O.B. because I just thought that lyric is absurd. And another one is from at 760 Village Person tweeted, Norman Bridwell. This is the person who did Clifford the Big Red Dog. Norman Bridwell. Okay, so this dog, it's red. Publisher. Okay. Norman Bridwell hits bong.
And it's fucking huge.
It is. Those books are some of the most bland, least imaginative things, but the size of the dog keeps you coming back for more. That dog is fucking huge, man. Oh, man.
Shit.
That was, I guess it was like Clifford the Big Red Puppy in the movie adaptation, and he's only going to get bigger, but man, big, big dog. A tweet I've been enjoying is James at Smoke Is Medicine tweeted, pop punk band. We used a piano on this one. Sixth graders. Oh my God. Holy shit. Yeah. Power ballad. Little wow. Mm-hmm. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
Oh, I think you're going to enjoy this track called We Love Radio. Not a clever reference to this place. And it's by Stennes, S-T-E-N-N-E-S. You might recognize Sam Jackson when he's the radio, the DJ, radio DJ from, what is that, Do the Right Thing?
Do the Right Thing.
Yeah, like little samples throughout there. And it's just really, this artist is actually from Minneapolis, Minnesota, but based out of Lincoln, Nebraska. And this is just a nice ambient tune, just great samples put together. And the kind of music that if you played at the beach, I feel like nobody can fault you because it's like, it's easy. It's just giving you a texture. There's no lyrics really aside from the samples. So
yeah.
We Love Radio by Stennes.
All right. Well, go listen to that. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. We'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.